The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Seeing that many others had undertaken to draw up accounts of the events that had taken place among us, exactly as these were handed down to us by those who from the outset were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, I, in my turn, after carefully going over the whole story from the beginning, have decided to write an ordered account for you, Theophilus, so that your excellency may learn how well founded the teaching is that you have received. Jesus, with the power of the Spirit in him, returned to Galilee, and his reputation spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as he usually did. He stood up to read, and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the assistant, and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak. "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Have a seat, please, for a few minutes. So, my dear brothers and sisters, today definitely one of the themes of the readings is the Word of God. But I'd like to explain a little bit about Nehemiah, the first reading today. This prophet that you might have heard of, might not have heard of, but it's a tiny little book in the Old Testament. And the Jewish people were right now, when he wrote this, coming back from Babylon, where they had spent 70, 80 years in exile. And it was a very difficult time. Those of you who are my generation, remember Boney M and by the rivers of Babylon. That's maybe the limit to some of our knowledge of Babylon. But Nehemiah had a very important job there. He was the cupbearer for the emperor, for the king of Persia, which is like saying he was the vice president of the United States of America. He was a right-hand man to the Persians, who were the world power at that time. And all of a sudden, the king of Persia said, "You know what? You Jews, you can go back home now." But Nehemiah left his job and his salary and his wealth and came back with Ezra to rebuild Jerusalem. Because when they got back to Jerusalem, the temple was a few stones, the walls were broken, the town was in little pieces, and their hearts were broken. But the thing is that the people of Israel, when they were in Babylon, had lost their identity. And that's where I think today's readings can help us to understand our situation today. Because they had spent so much time in Persia that they had been assimilated into the Persian culture and they had lost their identity. I'm sure you can relate to that. If you're from African country or from a country where there's a strong culture, you can see your kids today, they're being assimilated into another culture. Sometimes it's pop culture, which is not great. That's why we have to keep an eye on our children. Because if your religion is not telling you who you are, and God is not telling you, somebody else is telling you, is speaking to you. When I go into the schools today, I can almost guess what the kids are thinking. They're thinking what pop culture thinks, because they're hearing it day and night, sometimes in the middle of the night, all the time. This is how you think, this is how you think. And they're not hearing anymore the voice of the gospel, for different reasons. They've lost their identity. So Nehemiah and Ezra come back and rebuild the city, but also they rebuild the people and teach them again the values and the story, the great story of Israel. And I was speaking to the students from St. Angela's last Friday because it was St. Angela's Day. And I was telling them that there's two paths in today's world. How the world sees you and how God sees you. You can't choose halfway. It's either one or the other. And one is, who am I? Which is what God is telling you, your identity in God. And the other is, how do I look? How am I coming across? How the world sees you. And 25% of girls today in the US, but I think it's worldwide, would rather win America's Next Top Model than win a Nobel Peace Prize. Okay? More than half of the girls today would prefer to look good than to do good. That's an incredible number. And 60% of girls today believe they're not enough. They're not pretty enough, they're not slim enough, they're not tall enough, they're not beautiful enough, they don't like the girls on Instagram. There is a crisis of identity. Because the world today will tell you what they think you are, and then they will crush you. But God will tell you who you really are. But you have to be in tune with God. You have to speak to Him, hang out with Him, listen to His word, and He will really lift you up and tell you who you are. But what the world is telling you is a lie. Because beauty is an attribute of God. You're beautiful in God's eyes when you do good. Mother Teresa was not a pretty person. But we see her as beautiful because of what she did. And beauty is not owned by Chanel and whatever, Dolce Gabbana, whatever. They don't own beauty. It's God who says you're beautiful. And constantly says it. Because you are. And I could see how this was ringing out with the girls because a lot of them just don't believe it. That they're beautiful in God's eyes. They're God's daughter. And God loves them as they are. Beautiful in His eyes. And once you know that, you don't have to look elsewhere to find out you're beautiful. And if somebody on Instagram or anywhere online is telling you, taking away your confidence, making you jealous, making you feel bad about yourself, unfollow. And control who defines who you are, which is positive people and the gaze of God. So to get back to my little story, Ezra and Nehemiah, they come back to Jerusalem, and everything is a mess. And they reconstruct, first of all, the walls of Jerusalem. You have to protect your family. How many parents today are protecting their kids from the dangers of internet, from bad influences, when they're growing up, fighting for their children? I know many people here who do that very, very well. And that's what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah builds, because he was an engineer, he rebuilds the physical walls and the temple of Jerusalem so people can be protected. Community, you know what that means? Communera is common walls. It's not about, not to get a Donald Trump thing, but it's about protecting ourselves. If we're a community, that's why Catholic schools are so precious. Today the government wants us to mix with everything. Oh, we're all the same. No. You have to give a child identity. He can choose then when he wants, when he grows up. Give them boundaries. Give them everything up for grabs is a joke. Give them certain direction. Give them structure. Give them a way to follow, a path to follow. And they will follow it. And they'll become stronger for that. And that's what Nehemiah does. He starts. And in today's first reading, then what happens? Ezra starts healing and rebuilding the soul through the word of God, through teachings. And you see how they react to God. They start weeping. How many of us cry on a Sunday? Not many. It's more like yawning. We're crying from yawning. But the word of God is powerful. And the word of God will rebuild your heart. It will heal your heart. It will console you. And the word of God read in public, hearing it, is a good news. That's why we thank our readers. It's a vocation. And many should follow their footsteps. If you feel called, if you're a good reader and you love reading, we need people to proclaim the word of God in the assembly. And many Catholics today are in Babylon. They're in exile. They're what we call cultural Catholics by name, but their hearts are dead. Oh yeah, I was baptized. I went to St. Angela's. I went to St. Bond's. Blah, blah, blah. So what? But have you got a real relationship with God? Through those schools, through this church, do you speak to God? Do you let His gaze upon you to tell you who you really are? And Unfortunately, as I was saying, our kids today and ourselves, we're defined by Netflix, we're defined by YouTube, we're defined by pop culture, by the music we listen to. By a man told me the other day that he started reading the Word of God about 6 months ago, and it has changed him profoundly. He said the only thing I read was the Metro on the way to work and the Evening Standard on the way back home. But they're rags. There's nothing positive there. All you hear is West Ham lost. It's depressing. But will it form your heart? Will it feed you? Will it lift you up? Just bad news upon bad news and scandals and who did what and who loved who. But the real story of your life is God's love story. He formed you in the womb. He knew you before that. And he's speaking to you through the Word. He's speaking to you through the Eucharist that we have every day. And that's what Ezra does. He feeds them the Word of God. And they're desperate for it because they've lost their identity. And then we see how many of us, do we feed our souls? Do we nourish our souls? We never forget to eat. But we constantly forget to eat food for our souls, which is the Word of God. So we ask you, Lord, today, to teach us to structure our family, to give them true food, not junk food, spiritual junk food. But today it's so easy to have an app or online Bible, or if you have a little booklet with the daily readings, little bite-sized words of God. Make the Word of God a food for your soul. Because we're obsessed. Look at YouTube. This morning I was trying to cook something. There's like millions of recipes for how to eat this, make this soup, but show me the recipes for happiness through the Word of God. Very few. And yet that's what really makes us happy. If you eat garlic and drink bone broth every day, congratulations. But it won't get you to heaven. It won't make you really happy. And give us true food. And that's what we're about to have now. We're about to listen to the Word of God. We're about to have the Eucharist. These are solid foods that can really build our inner peace and our strength and our happiness and build our families on solid ground. Amen.